There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast.
On the left.
Side stories?
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
What I'm curious about is that Ghislaine Maxwell in prison?
Yeah.
You think so?
Yeah, because...
Why'd her nose get all fat? Do you think someone's just hitting her or fucking her, or do you think she's jamming it in a bunch of pussies?
Believe me, I want her to be dead just as much as Jeffrey Epstein did, just as much as Donald Trump wants.
I think she's hanging out somewhere. She's probably chilling.
They
own islands.
I believe that absolutely was Ghislaine Maxwell. It's just, you know what it is? We're so steeped and deep down.
Are you ready for this?
I plead the fifth.
Whoa, was that her?
Anyone can do it. I got a fat face.
But she just looks like shit. I think that's what people understand. Yeah, she's in a lesser security prison than she was.
But she's not getting her vitamins.
She's not getting her very, very high-end skin treatments.
Oh, yeah,
she's not getting the best possible food attainable that she could possibly get like she was used to.
The little boy foreskins that they mash up and sell.
And you put up in your... Get rid of the little bags under your eyes. And then she also She was a bad camera. It was a bad lens. She was sat back in the chair. Like, you'd be surprised how often when you're supposed to take pictures professionally, what they say is, put your head on a shelf.
Yes. Oh, no, lean forward a little bit.
Put your head on a shelf. So she sat back. She looks like shit because she's given herself the double chin thing like hot girls do on TikTok to pretend to be funny.
Her nose. The nose is different.
I think it's just, she's got a big nose.
Her honker has grown.
I think it's, you grow in age and you'd be surprised what happens when, it's the angle of the picture.
Yeah.
No, Ghislaine is
I know
very
men's
safe
noses
in
keep growing and their ears keep growing.
Well, after they're dead.
Yeah, well, no, when you're alive, your nose and ears never stop growing. That's why how do you explain like Jimmy Durante?
I don't think women are any different than men necessarily biologically in that way.
Side stories, lpotl@gmail.com. Do women's noses continue to grow as they get older like men?
And explain to us how that's also some very obscure turf thing that we have stumbled upon and we're making people angry. Welcome to Side Stories.
How you doing, everybody?
My name is Henry Zebrowski. I'm here with Ed Larson.
Hello.
We were describing before the show the really appropriate way to do this show. And the only way you're properly doing any form of comedy or radio is that half the people that listen need to be engaged because they hate you.
That's right. And we're looking at you, RAV4 owners, you fucking pussies.
You waste of space.
Cowards!
And I will say, last week on Side Stories, I called this last week. I knew it was going to happen. I called it. We even mentioned circumcision. We kind of even talked about it in a semi-joking fashion. I've received so many impassioned emails.
From everybody. From all walks of
life. All walks of life. I was talking about last week about the blood-stained men that I started to see on Instagram, about the men that walking around, they have bloody handprints on their penises.
It is objectively funny to me and Henry.
Yes.
I don't know what to do about it. There's men in white with red blood prints, handprints on their junk.
I'm allergic.
That makes me laugh.
Comedically, I'm allergic to sincerity. There's really nothing I can do about it. I wish that I was different. I wish I could feel these feelings. I just don't, right? So when I see things that are hyper sincere, they make me laugh. Yeah. So when you guys send, which I really appreciate.
I feel like I learned a little bit, to be honest with you.
I know.
Just a little bit off the top.
It just seems these people that were not circumcised, they really are a little extra sensitive about this topic.
So
I totally understand. I did learn a lot because partially it's true. If I had a son, I wouldn't know what to do. I do understand it's
I'd clip the fucker.
I would be torn. I would be torn because I know it's a barbaric practice. I know it's old as time. I know that there's no real specific even purpose for it anymore.
Barbaric is doing it when you're 40. That's gotta suck.
If you choose to do
it. You have no memories when you're that age. Fucking beat me.
Dude, if you get circumcised optionally, you're something fucking settingly wrong with you. But I it could be a religious thing. I don't fucking know. All I'm just saying is I understand I would be confused because I would not like to harm my theoretical son. I also would not know how to tell my theoretical son how to care for an uncircumcised penis. So I wouldn't know quite what to do. But I hear you. It is not, we're not just making fun of you.
Yes.
I mean, also, I think the world would be a better place if men were less, like, sensitive about their penises.
Well, let's just say...
I think a lot of people have died because they've made fun of penises.
Yes.
And I think that penises should just be allowed to be made fun of. I'm sorry. I think the world would be a better place if everyone could just take that joke.
It's a part of a penis having responsibility. It's much like being a police officer. Yeah. You have to understand the penis is a dangerous weapon, right?
Absolutely.
And so you have to have this, a bit of sense of humor about it, okay? Because, yeah, I agree. I read Under Saturn's Shadow. I understand there are actual men's issues, and I read about this. There's three W's, so they talk about a men's issues, right? It is work, worry, and war. One is men are supposed to go die in war. When they don't, where does all that excess violent energy go to?
Woodstock 99.
Right? It goes into something else. It turns into competition bobsledding. You think bobsledding wouldn't have come out of toxic masculinity? It was a fun way to enjoy snow.
I'll tell you what, you don't circumcise your bobsled, you ain't winning.
Exactly. You know, you got to thin that out, right? Then there's work, which is that men are supposed to work, provide money, and then die.
I agree.
Right, that's a bully. And then that men are supposed to. So these are the issues. Men have issues, right? And then there's worry, which is the concept that I find really, really funny, which is, yes, men own everything, but isn't that stressful?
Here's the thing. I don't think about the worry thing. I don't think men worry like women worry.
Well,
I think women worry way more than men.
It just, we're just talking about perennial, quote unquote, men's issues. And like, so I understand when people in the circumcision and then the anti-circumcision world, they're trying to defend the little boys that are viewed sometimes by society as expendable.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's a lot of us.
There was one guy, because we made fun of them for, and then make fun. We said, like, oh, you got to clean it, and it's a lot of maintenance. And this guy was just like, hey, you clean it. I'm good. You know, I clean it every day. And I was like, that's the problem. Full honesty, I don't shower every day. So, you know, not showering every day, I can't be having to, you know, to deal with that.
You see, I'll do a whore's bath every once in a while.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you do something every day.
Well,
I do deodorant and brush my teeth for sure.
Yes, that, yeah. It's a minimum, Eddie.
Yes.
I know that if my wife is going to engage with my balls.
Oh, I'm cleaning them.
Yeah, even I just got a wipe or something.
Yeah, definitely.
Even if it's just a wet towel.
For sure.
Sometimes I just sit on a pair of damp shorts.
I don't think that's making it better.
No, it's making them wet. And that means clean. All right, I think we've done enough here. I think we've just made everybody angry enough.
I'm very happy you got your foreskins. I'm proud of you. Please keep them. And the ladies who love it, good on you.
Love everybody that loves it. Hate everybody that hates it.
I don't need more sensitivity. I don't need help coming.
No.
If anything, I need resistance.
If someone could maybe take some more off of mine. I don't need the magical new, what I keep seeing, nuanced pleasure. All right? I don't even need it. I don't have time. I don't have time for nuanced pleasure. All right? I got to please my wife.
Yeah. Maybe what people could do is if we get a bunch of these foreskins together, we could tie them together and maybe use them as like a life jacket or a raft, you know, like a life raft.
To help. Like the little Ilian Gonzalez's of the world?
Yeah, you know, if like you ever had to like, you know, like if you were ever on a cruise ship and like it was going down and you're like, oh, don't worry, I brought my own floaties and it's just a bunch of foreskins.
And you know what that would be super helpful to have on?
What?
Crime Wave at Sea.
Oh, yeah.
If you want to join us over at the Royal Caribbean, we are going to be at next year's Crime Wave at Sea, February 2027. Crime Wave at Sea 2.0.
That's right.
We are going to be sailing from incredible Fort Lauderdale.
Nothing bad has ever happened there.
Not once.
Honestly, this last time we came back on Crime Wave, the ship next to us had a murder.
Yes, but it was, guess what?
What?
Carnival.
Yeah,
we all know what happens over there at Carnival.
Carnival's the bad one. Go to crimewaveatsea.com/left to buy your tickets to see us. If you came last year,
it was the most fun.
Remember how much shit we talked? We had no idea what it was going to be like. Truly one of the funnest weeks of my life. And getting to meet everybody on the road was so fun. And everybody had a blast. And this time we're going to be bringing even more heat. It's a bigger boat.
It is a bigger boat.
We're going crazy.
Yeah, man, I'm going to fish.
And also, truly, the best part about this cruise, like, that's what?
I'm going to go fishing at the buffet is what I
Oh, think. Yeah, it's funny. That's funny.
It's cute.
We could go, you know what's nice about these tickets? You can pay for them for the entire year.
Yes.
So you can buy them in installments. Truly, I cannot, like, of all of our live shows, I've never experienced anything like that, and I can't wait to do it again.
It is a little expensive, but it's your vacation. You know, it's your money. It's all your food, your lodging. I was grilling people the whole time I was there. I was like, is this worth it for you? Because I was like feeling guilty and
yes.
shit. And every one of them was like, this is amazing. I'm having the best time.
Also, I will say, I do believe we will have a face reveal of the dude from Case File.
Oh, yeah?
I believe that's the big thing on this one. Ooh. Is that the here formation, like, is just a voice.
What if I want to see his ass?
Well, that's what we get to do.
Yeah.
Because you know why? Because men make other men do things.
That's right. Just show them your ass.
Show your buddy my ass.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Right from your grave.
All right, now that's, so just so you know, as we were going through this week's information, I clicked over and I looked at Royal Caribbean over on the Epstein files, and we don't need to talk about what happened there, but let's see what happens when we looked up Caribbean.
Oh, just regular Caribbean?
Look what happened when we looked up Carnival Cruise.
Oh, yeah, Carnival. It was fucking disgusting. They had a great time over there. I deleted the email.
Okay, good. Better
yes, I deleted
it, yeah.
the email. Yes. The Carnival was on there way more than yeah. Royal Caribbean.
Are we in the updates?
We're in the updates. Let's hit it.
It's an island adventure.
Heck yeah, it's Jeffrey time.
Man,
I promise you, we're going to talk about other stories this week too. But
yes, I know. But like, I had the realization this week that I had been past his island multiple times in the 90s because I used to go to St. Thomas because every trip when I was a kid was a cruise.
Oh, yes.
And so like, because I was in South Florida and we get like discounts and shit. My dad loved to gamble. So I'd always go. And so we would go to St. Thomas regularly. And then every time, I don't know why, my dad loved going to St. John. And so we would take a boat from St. Thomas to St. John. And then on the way on that boat, every time the guy would be like, and there's little St. James Island, you know, like every single time.
Wow.
And so like, I was just driving by there as a kid and everything was going on. This is just, not to make it about myself, but
I just wonder if he'd already purchased the island at that point. I don't know whether or not Jeffrey was aboard.
I'd say it was the early 90s. So there might be a chance that wasn't his island at that point.
Oh yes. And now we also see there was a Tyler Oliveira went and he broke onto the island.
I watched this video. It was fun.
It's interesting. It's a beautiful island. What a beautiful piece of space.
See the place up close.
Well, you know, it's also very...
There's people living there.
It's extremely cryptic. It is owned. There are people walking around. We do believe...
They were sending them messages that night. Like, we know you were here and stuff like that.
The person that I believe that is currently on it is Katrina Shuliak, that I believe is his former girlfriend. Karina Shuliak, Epstein's last girlfriend, the dentist that he worked with, is currently living on the island.
Who's the guy who owns it now? Some weird... I was looking him up, and I went on a rabbit hole trying to get through him, and he's like one of those billionaires that's like scrubbed himself from the internet. You know, he's one of those
entrepreneur
guys.
Stephen Dekoff.
Stephen Dekoff, that's his name. Yeah, Stephen Dekoff. I don't know what the fuck he's doing down there.
He wants to
put a resort.
He's straight up saying he's going to put a resort there, which kind of, I mean, you know, it makes sense. It's better than a rape factory, I guess. It depends on what you do there when you pay the resort fees.
I mean, the thing is, like, who the fuck wants to stay there?
Other former rapists that are looking to remember their wonderful times?
There's so many islands in the Caribbean. Why do you want to go to the one where people would just fuck children a bunch?
You want to know genuinely why, I think? It's because of the way it was for it to travel to. It is extremely exclusive.
Yes.
There's a way to, you can build all, tiny. These, all these little puddle jumpers, the way he got people to the island, which is you fly to St. Bart's, you fly to Mexico City, you fly to all these other places and you can very easily drop in.
Dude, the fucking kid that we were just talking about took a jet ski.
Yeah, I mean, hey.
You know?
It just depends on how fucking chill you are, dude. Depends on how X Games you are. All right, so let's go. I just very briefly. So I deep into research. Everybody in the country that has a set of balls or tits right now is researching the Epstein.
We're all experts.
Everybody is up into it. I met the lovely lead singer of Sepultura over the weekend. And me and him had a wonderful time. It's just so funny. He's the nicest man I've ever met. Derek Green, extremely nice man. Managed to make it for about an hour before we started talking about it. It was nice to really have the break to just get to know another human being, but he wasn't ready to hear about the cannibalism. Now, one of the big videos...
Sepultura wasn't ready to hear about the cannibal course?
I happen to notice that that's when he called his Uber, was when I was describing about how Jeffrey Epstein was rumored to be eating human jerky, and I was complaining to Derek about how the problem is that...
Well, it's not human jerky. I'm sorry to interrupt you. It's not human jerky. They just refer to human flesh as jerky, apparently.
Well, let's see if they, but if you're depending, if you're jerkying it, it's the worst meat to jerky because human meat is most compared to pork meat, which I also find to be the worst jerky meat besides turkey. Turkey jerky and pork jerky, by far the worst jerkies.
I like salmon jerky.
I'm fine.
I love salmon jerky.
Mm. I think you're mostly, you're part Kodiak.
Yeah.
That's what that means. Right? So the, but I was saying to Derek, my main issue is that if humans are pork, then we should be treating it like pork, and essentially you need to braise it.
Yes.
And then he called us Uber.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But again, with
or, in Epstein's case, raise it to be an adult.
Then you can really farm. You're gonna
see, but I think jerky was just a code word. You know why I think it was just a code word is because they said it was in the freezer.
Yeah.
And anyone who puts jerky in the freezer
is a real jerk.
Worse than a fucking child molester.
Yeah, that's right. Honestly, I'm with Eddie on that. What's wrong with you?
If you got jerky in your freezer, you are not only doing it wrong, your teeth are gone.
He also, yes, and he also compared the intestine, the taste of the bellies of the, in the intestines and the meat of babies to be like cream cheese,
which is also compared to an 1800s document that was written in France by a guy that ate human flesh.
Oh, okay.
And he wrote all of these things. So I actually don't know what he got from actual experience or literally what he read in a Jean Genet novel.
He seems to be a fan of awful science, Jeffrey, as a whole.
Jeffrey Epstein, one of the things that was revealed in this week's dump, which I thought was really interesting, is the fact that he called his new Mexico ranch his science center.
Yes.
We know that he was heavily involved in eugenics process, like all of these things. He was very interested in human eugenics, the eugenics programs. One of the interesting things that came out this week in the last dump, which now Pam Biondi has officially said is over.
Oh, yeah. Thank
right,
you,
we're
Pam.
Now done. So she said it's complete.
Because she's done such a great job over the course of her career dealing with the Epstein crisis.
Utterly covering up, aiding and abetting it, being very much a center of it. And
the Attorney General for Florida, during his main years of being a child trafficker, she's either in on it or a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I think, and I think that they don't need to be mutually exclusive.
Yes.
So this is the last week, as we were covering this, there was a hearing going on with Pam Biondi, right? And with various people represented involved with this investigation. And the thing that came out was that Ro Khanna, a Democrat rep, he came out and he revealed six men that he immediately was in the unredacted files that he got to see on the four computers that they're allowed to have access to.
Yeah.
Which apparently, using, this is the statistic they've said, with just the files that have already been dumped, with only the computers that they have access to, it would take 7.5 years to go through every single file in the Epstein file.
It's insane how long you can really spend doing this shit.
And also Ro Khanna immediately noticed, which I noticed even last night, I was going through various documents because that's how I relax.
Mm-hmm.
And I was noticing there would be the same document uploaded three or four times differently redacted each time.
Yes.
Right? So each one was left out. So you start to actually, a lot of times if you just read the same document in four different places, you get the whole fucking document. So that's kind of where I was doing for a while. But Ro Khanna was basically saying, what in the living fuck is happening here?
Yeah.
This thing's a mess. The first thing I see, though, are these lists of conspirators that would be part of a theoretical lawsuit and the theoretical investigation. And these were the names he read. And the reason why I want to reread them is that they were coming out last week. It was a big surprise, but we have no idea what this means yet.
Yeah, you heard us read the names in real time. I didn't have time to research them. It's crazy.
So right now, the big bad guys are Les Wexner, right? 88-year-old. Yes. He goes off. He was the guy that did Victoria's Secret, Abercrombie & Fitch. He's apparently the center of Jeffrey Epstein's original big amount of money that kicked off the whole thing. Jeffrey Epstein got power of attorney for him. Les Wexner goes on to say that he was manipulated by Jeffrey Epstein. You know how these easy manipulator these billionaires are.
Oh, yes.
So he was manipulated by Jeffrey Epstein, probably because Jeffrey Epstein was fucking him. I think that that's one of those, because Jeffrey Epstein fucked anybody that moved, if it got him through something.
I believe it.
Right. And so that's number bad guy number one. Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem. So this is the guy that he's from DP World, multinational. So this is what's interesting. Ports and logistics and enterprise. That's okay. Who this guy's run. So his thing is he's in shipping and exports.
Out of Dubai.
Yes. So he's really good at getting things from one place to another place.
Who would need that?
I don't know. Somebody goes beep, beep, beep. That's my cue. That's my trafficking noise. We need to get that.
Yeah. That's the thing with human trafficking. The real problem is how long it takes.
Oh my God, the human trafficking started to go from 3 to 9.
Oh, is this non-rush hour? Because no one's moving.
So these fuckers. So Sultan Ahmed bin Sulayem. He was the one that he would trade sexual things with Jeffrey Epstein. This is the guy that Epstein sent the email to. I loved the torture video. And yes. They talk about sex, they talk about fucking, they send each other pictures of naked girls, they send each other pictures of little girls, they send each other pictures of, I also remind yourself, in the Epstein files are some of the worst things I've ever seen, and some of the descriptions of some of the worst things that I've ever seen, because a lot of times they will redact a photo, but then describe the photo underneath it. And it is just as bad as reading it. As looking at it, I'll tell you, right? So we know that that was one specific email he sent to Jeffrey Epstein. This is the Sultan. He said 2 years ago, from an American university in Dubai, it was a girl that had the best sex I ever had. Amazing body. She got engaged, but now she back with me, he said. And that they go back and forth. So that's his buddy. Now, there's now four names. So those are two famous names.
Yeah.
Now, there are four names that came out underneath it. Nicola Caputo. Salvatore Nuarte. Now, Nicola Caputo is the same name of an Italian politician.
Okay.
That they don't think has anything to do with it. So they don't know who this guy is.
So it's because that's the other thing. You look up a name and then you got to remember other people have the same name.
Yes.
So you're not necessarily finding the correct person because they always bar out the fucking email address.
These people's lives got just fucking exploded. Like this guy, Salvatore Nuarte. Salvatore Nuarte of Queens, New York, called Ro Khanna's office to say straight up, I don't know if they know what they're doing over there at the Justice Department, he told The Guardian. But how can I clear my name? I've been arrested for unrelated crimes. This guy, just a guy from Queens, is like, I don't know. That's not me, bro. That's not me, bro. Yeah. I wouldn't do that, bro.
Yeah, but he like robbed a bank years ago.
He's like, I'll never do that. He's like, I'll never do that, bro. Right? And then Zurab Mikaladze. No idea who that person is. And then Leonid Leonov, right? Who's also, he's he's an IT manager in Queens. He says that he's being pulled in. He's just fucked up. He's like, I don't even have a second or third degree connection to him. Never worked for him. Nothing. So these are unnamed. We don't know who these people are. These sounds like guys that literally grabbed girls off the street and helped provide them, that were all under Jean-Luc Brunel, all these other people that were connected over in Europe that Epstein would work with. I just am illustrating this to understand how big this is. Pam Biondi yesterday, that fucking bitch, put out a list of in a series of malicious compliance, put out what she said, you want a list of names? Here's all the names. And gave a list of 300 names that are referred to in the emails, including Elvis Presley, Charlie Chaplin.
Yeah.
Any single time anybody's name is mentioned because she's a fucking complicit villain.
Well, yeah, because she's trying to fuck with us. The way that they dump these emails is a way to fuck with your brain.
Yes.
When you just give someone this much information,
well, that was the idea,
unorganized, it sends people into meltdowns. And then when you're going into the meltdown, you then sound crazy.
But this is where I'm going to give you guys a leg up, because we're going to stop covering it every single day, this thickness, okay? Because we do have other stories we have to talk about eventually, but this is the single most, also don't get it twisted, because it's the single most important story in the fucking world right now.
Of our entire life.
It is the single most, anybody that laughs at you about not being the single most important political story of our generation, they are a part of it.
Yeah.
If they literally don't get why this is so big and why this is the number one, then everybody can go fuck. All right?
How people with kids don't care about this,
well, it's just
makes me nuts.
It's because they're also purposefully overwhelmed.
Yeah.
So one thing to do is there's certain file types to look for. One that I thought was really interesting is FD-302 files.
Oh, God.
So when you look up, if you want to look up a file that is super crucial to the case, it's FD-302.
Okay.
And what that is the witness testimony and the various criminal conspirators that were interviewed, and it is the most heavily redacted, and it's stuff that is the most missing, and it's the stuff that we have to yell about the most, because it's the heart of the entire case, and it's literally what they have now, which I'm now also starting to understand. They obviously don't want the victim's words to be heard by people.
Yeah.
They don't want them to be heard. They really do believe in many ways that the victim's words, and I'm saying this in from DOJ's perspective, are like the least credible, least amount of work. Like, they hear all of these, like when Pam Biondi was sitting in that room with all of the victims standing
just
behind
fucking
her,
fucking ignoring
and
them.
Then she dared to say that was political theater. That's like a thing that makes my fucking blood boil.
Those are the people who the crimes were perpetrated against.
That's who you're supposed to be fighting for. Those are the people you're supposed to be fighting for, not for the people in the fucking document. And so don't let them tell you that it's some form of virtue signaling to care about this, because it's not. Anybody that doesn't care about this has no heart. The Dow Jones is going to be there, but seriously, the Dow Jones is going, what I want also to hold, the Dow Jones is going to snap back, whatever the fuck it is that we do.
Historically.
The Dow Jones is now, like, that's why I don't understand my other fucking, sadly, other CEO types, is that honestly, the economy's going to be fine. We'll arrest all of them, and the economy will be fine.
It'll actually bounce back.
Yeah.
And then when we start charging billionaires taxes, guess what?
Comes back.
It comes back.
Yes.
It'll go into schools.
Yeah. I mean, who fucking, I mean, but also, let's not get too far, Eddie. Let's not go too far. All right, so one big thing
I didn't want to go too far. I wanted to go back for one second, real quick. The six names. I thought you didn't mention Ehud Barak. I thought he was all over it, too.
He is. So this is kind of, this is the other side of it. So this is Ro Khanna. Just name those names. He did that as a point. Like, he did those to be like, this is just an example of a redacted email that names co-conspirators that we have redacted.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of what he was trying to say, is that, like, there was no reason for those names to ever be redacted, because they were not victims. The only thing that were supposed to be redacted was some information connected to victims.
Correct.
Not the people that did the crimes. So one thing that came out in this email, now, this is where I'm going to send you off as a listener. Go and listen. There are several places to go research now to make it easier. Go to dropsitenews.com.
Okay.
It's got the most current Epstein information that I have found on a Substack.
And you have to pay for that?
I did pay for it.
Okay.
I did pay for it, but they're unpaid for. They're free articles. So there's, like, one of the Substacks. Becca Day is another one that I follow. And they are really following.
So you're up in it.
Oh, yeah. Epstein and Israel's connections.
Yeah.
So last week, we talked a little about how Poland was doing a big investigation into him being a Russian spy.
Yeah.
So but we all know that he was probably playing four different teams. At least. We know that he did a weird FOIA request to see what the CIA had on him.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So Jeffrey Epstein used the term skiff a lot. Like he would throw around intelligence terms very easily. And one of the, it seems the main things that he was doing, of the many things he was doing, is that he was working with the former prime minister of Israel, Ehud Barak, on creating this like gigantic fund for cyber warfare.
Okay.
And they were going to be building this. Essentially, Epstein had inside information about how powerful our cyber weapons were getting in the United States of America. Then we did stuff like the I believe it was called the Stuxnet attack, right? Where we shut down all of Iranians' nuclear programs using this cyber weapon that we've said that it wasn't us, blah, 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 right? Epstein knows we're working on this thing. It's the next wave of warfare. Remember the discombobulator that Trump talked about? That we used in Venezuela. They're doing the same thing. So these guys are... Epstein realized, America's getting really dangerous with these. I'm going to help our allies from the inside. So then he starts working with Israel. He starts working with Russia to create cyber warfare technology.
It's like My Blue Heaven. He's like, who put you undercover? He's like, I did. It don't work like that.
Yeah. I did. He's like, it doesn't work. No, he was available to everyone.
Yeah.
And I don't think...
If you had money.
I think if you had money, he was available. We now know that he was probably a part of whatever was this government coalition between various foreign adversaries to try to control the election in 2016, mm-hmm. because a lot of these guys realized that they would make quite a bit of money when Trump was in office, specifically because his administration was specifically promising them that they would make a lot of money if he was president, and then they went ahead and really did make quite a bit of money, and they are right now.
Yeah. Good.
So that's kind of like, I'm just gonna send you off. Epsteinscan.org.
Yeah,
another great website that breaks down, not only does it break down the files, it breaks down all the various relationships. It identifies the people by name that they're talking about, which is the kind of stuff you need to run like. And then Jmail is also crushing it.
Jmail's, of course, crushing it. And I've been listening to the Epstein Files Book Club with Jenna Friedman. Great podcast. She had her Twitter mysteriously disappear and delete and then restart under a different name. So this is Jenna Friedman. If you don't know who Jenna Friedman is, she's an amazing political comedian. Follow her career. It's fucking unbelievable. But she would torture Elon on Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
And then one day she woke up and the whole shit was deleted.
Crazy how that happens.
Yeah.
These guys are the most sensitive bitches in the face of the planet.
Yeah, they really are.
These guys just really can't
These
handle
free
comedians.
Speech fucking heroes are all can't wait to shut us all up.
But then the comedians also, what a shame. They just love just God.
They treated comedians like currency. That's where my rabbit hole went. I just started looking up every comedian's name and like whether they went and how it all looks. And I mean, I never knew him really. I definitely met him once or twice, but I wasn't friends with him. Do whatever you can to stay away from Bobby Slayton.
Yeah, I guess. yeah, Bobby Slayton.
But he probably needed the bump, to be honest with you.
Oh, Bobby Slayton is not doing well, but he will. What is nice about Bobby Slayton, what we do know is he's available for private parties.
Very available.
Now, all of our other buddies that are like, you know, Joe Rogan, he was joking. I guess he said he was like, someone tried to get me to go to dinner. And I said, what are you high? And it's like,
Yeah,
we'll see.
Yeah, if the child, if it was a baby elk, they would have got him there.
If it was a racist South African, I guess they would have went there. These fucking traitors. I am the least American person on the face of the planet. How did I get here? I'm surrounded by traitors. Yeah. Right? Like I'm surrounded by treasonous. How am I the most American of all of us? I hate this country. I hate these people. I will die for the right. I will fight to protect these people, though.
Oh,
I will
man.
Fight to protect these. I fucking, what am I doing out here?
It's a fucking crazy time. And I think it's just like real quick. I just wanted to tell everybody, if you're going through this rabbit hole, you need to take breaks.
That's the reason why we're taking a break right now to talk about other super casual stuff, like the kidnapping of Savannah Guthrie's mother. Now, this story is just like some really fun stuff. I wanted to talk about this.
I just really hope that this helps. Like, I hope that Guthrie's Chicken Shack can use this as like an advertisement
and
kind of parlay them, because I don't.
We got the Guthrie. If Guthrie's from Tallahassee, Guthrie still around?
Guthrie's is still around. It's a chain. It's not a big chain, but Cane's stole their sauce, literally.
Yes, we know.
Stole
this.
Their whole we bullshit.
Know this. We know.
And
this.
So Cane's ran with it, and they're across the nation. Guthrie's is left behind.
I think
so
Guthrie's is still better. Now,
Guthrie's is better. Definitely better.
But I haven't had Guthrie since college.
I had it recently. Fucking awesome.
Is it as good as
it
was?
It's just as good.
No
it's
way.
It's just as good. I'm going to Tallahassee soon, April 11th. I can't wait to have fucking Guthrie's with P-Funk.
But, dude, there's a Guthrie's in New Mexico.
Dude, they're all over the place. Yeah, no, they're great. Yeah, so Guthrie's.
Whoa, I can get
this.
To a Guthrie's?
You can get to a all right, Guthrie's.
No, all right, we've lost the plot.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to say that. Fuck you, Cane's, for stealing Guthrie's bullshit.
I've heard him make this. I know. I've heard him say this before. Many times. Yeah. No, yeah, this is not a singular rant.
I'm so hungry.
No, he's done this. Yeah, he's talking about it. He's just hungry. All right, here we go. Now, Savannah Guthrie, for those of you that are living under a rock, I think we covered it very, very quickly when
it
first
chicken,
hit.
Henry. The chicken, Henry.
Savannah Guthrie, it's Good Morning America, right? And so she is a beloved, beloved anchor. Her mother was kidnapped on January 31st, Nancy Guthrie. Now, at first, obviously, they were holding the cards really close to the vest. Savannah Guthrie came out and said, we're willing to give the money. Against my original advice.
Oh, yeah. They didn't listen to your advice?
No, my original advice is, again, don't pay a fucking dime. Don't you dare negotiate with these terrorists.
Yeah.
And you should call Liam Neeson.
Yes.
To go get him himself. And yes. He could go get. But I understand.
Kill one of the bastards.
Yeah, but now I understand we're now in more serious territory. So the time has passed since them asking for money.
Yes.
And now.
We're into the third week.
It's the third week. What do we know about the case? We know that there was a video from the Ring cam that was being fucked with. So we saw a guy in a mask, balaclava. Yeah. He had some kind of body armor on. Well, you know, when you're kidnapping an 80-year-old, how much body armor you need to have.
Dude, it's Arizona. Everyone's strapped.
Oh, I get it. Gloves, face mask. He's fucking with the thing. He's about five, they're saying he's like 5'9", 5'10", right? Yeah. That's the only information we have. They now believe they have cleared the family.
Well, they found the glove.
They found one of the gloves.
They found the gloves a couple miles away, then they sent it to Florida for DNA testing. Good luck.
And there was yeah, exactly. Oh, what a reputable
that's
place.
That's a place with a little too much DNA hanging around. It's Florida.
So there was blood that was inside of her home that matched the DNA on the glove, apparently. They think that it's the same person. They have no record yet. We don't know.
We know the record. Yeah, we don't fucking know.
Am I helping?
This is the only Nancy Guthrie coverage that comes with belching.
Hey, what am I going to do? I'm a human man in here.
Yeah, they got the bomb. I was thinking, first thing I knew is if it was me, I would have diced. I would have fucking completely stopped them in their tracks.
No, I guess this is my question. You kidnap this. We have no idea why they're doing this now. TMZ is now directly in negotiations with the guy who says he knows the guy.
He says, yeah, he says he's seen Nancy Guthrie and he has information, but he doesn't want to go to the cops because he has past crimes he doesn't want to get arrested for.
And he said that they saw them go south of the border.
Yeah.
Right? Now, this is my question.
Which ain't far.
Not from Arizona. But my question is okay, you're a kidnapper. Your job. You're going to get this woman. You get this 80-year-old woman. You're going to do it with, like, God knows why. It seems mostly, it might have been, it seems it was, like, for money. But then they sent this ransom note, and then they didn't get back.
Yeah.
What happens if you kidnap an 80-year-old woman, and then she dies on you?
Especially when she doesn't have her medicine, apparently.
Yep. What do you do then?
Go to Mexico.
With a dead woman?
I mean, you know, they're not really checking everything all the time. You know, you can get into Mexico a lot easier than you can get out.
No, I guess that's true. It's also one of those where I feel like, because we had a bit of a debate, a successful kidnapper gets the money.
Yes.
A successful kidnapper doesn't.
He's doing well.
No, he's not.
I mean, they're not caught, which I'm very blown away by.
You say that that's it, but that to me, no, that's not what he was trying to do. He was trying to get money.
How much money is her dead body worth?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Absolutely nothing.
I mean, I'd pay a little bit for my mom's body.
I mean, the most you're going to get out of me. I'm sorry. If you've already killed her.
10 grand?
Eddie. 2 grand. 2-3 grand. She's already dead. She's already fucking dead there. I'm not paying you 10 grand for a cold body. Yeah. All right? At that point, you bury her. You know what I mean? Tell me where you bury her. I'll come visit her. Honestly, you go, I'll pay.
That costs 2 grand.
I'll pay to bury her. All right? You just send me a geolocation of where she is. I'll go visit her. Because honestly, clears up a lot of problems for me.
Make it close to Cabo if you don't mind.
If you don't mind, just so that I can hit some of my I'm trying to get to know the locals. No, this is, it's extremely sad. I don't know what they were expecting to get out of this, and I don't think it is going to end well for anybody.
Oh, man. That when they thought it was the brother-in-law at first, and then they showed a picture of that guy, and I was like, they got him.
Yeah, he's and like, then, like, I just want to take this because I look like shit.
That poor bastard.
My wife, my sister.
Just because I'm ugly, you think I stole her?
Just because my sister is literally one of the beloved hearts of America, and I'm a fucking drifter-looking, railroad-working, not-me-need, child-murderer-looking guy. I understand.
Investigate me, but not for too long. You have to find the people who did this.
Honestly, clear me.
I am unemployable.
Please clear me. Getting one person to sign off on me will maybe help.
All right, we got that's a horrible story. We know nothing else. So that's really it. We don't know fucking anything else. And we're just sitting and waiting just like the rest of you.
Yes.
So who knows? So if you know, have any information, sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com so I can send that information to the police and we can get the reward.
Yes.
And if we get the reward, just give it directly to the police, or you should probably just give it directly to the Arizona police, but if you want to cut us in on it, that'd be great.
Yeah. And then when we get the reward, we're going to put it towards free circumcisions for anybody.
Free circumcision. Free circumcisions. I'm going to bring my guillotine. We're going to have you guys come out here. There's nothing barbaric about it. It's completely normal behavior. Nothing barbaric about it. Nothing off-putting about it at all.
Right from your grave.
All right, let's talk about something fun.
Oh, yeah, like Family Annihilation?
Yeah.
Is that what you want to talk about? Because I have this story.
All right, go ahead.
Now, this is a brutal story. Another one. Why not just throw it on the pile? So they were ever at the Rio in Las Vegas. You ever been to the Rio Hotel?
I have. It sucks.
Yeah.
It's not nice. It seems to be dirty.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
if you want to see Penn and Teller, you go to the Rio. That's where the Comedy Cellar is.
But
that's
you
at
leave.
The Rio. That's fun.
So you leave, but you just go to the Rio and you leave because some people get so fucking sad there.
Yeah.
They check in, but they don't check out. This is a sad story. Mother, daughter found dead. Parent murder suicide at the Rio at a cheerleading competition. Give me an S.
S.
Give me a U.
Suicide's a long thing.
I'm sorry. This is the, I'm extremely sorry. They were over at the Utah Extreme Cheer competition, which is honestly, this has been extreme.
I mean, this is extreme. Yeah, this is the most extreme cheering I've ever heard of.
Yes. And so she, 10:45 a.m., she shot a little girl, Tania McGeehan, shot her little girl, Addie Smith. She was, Addie Smith, who was 12, and then shot herself. Now, the thing that it seems to be what came to a head was that they had a nine-year custody battle for Addie.
Yeah. Yeah, she's going through a divorce.
She's going through a lot, right? The lady's going through quite a bit, as you could probably tell. And it said apparently she got really upset about getting some mean texts from the other cheer moms.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
This is a cheer mom led to murder?
This is cheer moms got together, encouraged her to commit suicide.
Really?
No, not really. But just said, we don't like your daughter. Your daughter is bad for the team.
Oh,
your daughter's
God.
A new thing. They were like doing the thing that cheer moms do.
Oh, so they weren't like, oh, see, I was like, for 2 seconds, I was like, oh, these cheer moms are like.
Do it, do it, do it. Get the gun.
Telling her to like be nicer to her daughter.
No, opposite. They were saying that her daughter sucked.
Oh.
They were telling her daughter sucked and that she was bringing down the team and that Tania sucked and that they were all like mad about it because she was a new add to the team. And honestly, man, it's hard out there, but don't let these bitches get you down. Remember when we talked about Eleanor Roosevelt?
Yes.
The quote.
The quote, oh yes, the quote, which is no one can make you feel inferior without your consent.
So be like Eleanor Roosevelt, eat pussy, get out there, and don't let these people bring you down, all right? You're at the cheerleading conference. Your job as a cheerleader.
Yeah, you are a cheerleader.
And I'm not going to blame Addie at all, obviously. She was a 12-year-old girl, but this is the time to really put her skills to the test.
It's just crazy that these cheer moms are like, your girl is sad, and they're not like checking on her mental health or well-being.
None.
They're just like, she's going to fuck up the competition.
She sucks. Yeah. Your little girl
her kicks
is a fucking
high enough?
Waste of space.
I haven't seen her smile big enough.
Yes, they really, it was really rough. But Tonio was obviously very upset.
Yeah, well, you know, maybe it's because they had to stay at the Rio and not the fucking Mandalay Bay.
Honestly, the Rio, it's not the Luxor.
I mean, if it's not the Luxor, then tear it down.
I mean, it just, it's not the Luxor, but it's like now we know another place where people have committed suicide on the Strip. I know the Luxor is a big,
oh,
considered
like this
to be
is the first suicide at the Rio.
It's Vegas, Eddie. It's only happy there. Who would ever be sad in Vegas? That's kind of what I'm even sad about. This woman brought sadness to Las Vegas.
It's nothing bad ever happens there.
Not once. It's not built on mob activity. The old place isn't built on crime, fucking human trafficking, and pure deviance. It's not just the suicide capital of America, according to a 2004 CBS article. Right? Who would ever do that? Who would ever check into the Four Seasons Las Vegas like that guy did in the top of the article, blow his brains out? At the Four Seasons Las Vegas, there's another one.
Yeah,
right.
That's
there.
The problem. You go to Vegas.
Wow.
There aren't four seasons. There's three at best.
Maybe. What? You got golf? Tourism. I'm trying to think what the other seasons are. Rodeo season. It's a big season.
Oh, yeah, yeah. That's right.
Yeah, we saw that. Well, I don't know if we covered this with the seriousness people wanted it.
No, what do you do? Well, here's a positive story. I'm coming in with a positive story. There's also a big murder-suicide in Bulgaria.
Yeah, and the hardest part about a Bulgarian mass suicide is fucking switching legs. Yeah, that's from. You guys know, right? You know what that's, you know what that is?
No, I don't.
It's Bulgarian squats.
Bulgarian squats?
Yeah.
Oh, you're getting too into working out.
That was a working out thing.
Oh.
Bulgarian squats. You never did that in the football team, or was that just what you were doing on top of the coach from Europe?
Hey, come on. He was nice.
That's a Bulgarian squat.
He was a friend. Oh, that?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's when you dip. You do little dips with your knees.
Oh.
You normally hold a weight.
She's got nice pants.
Oh, that's what you notice.
All right, so
nice pants.
Here's the story that my favorite story of the fucking week is a Saskatchewan man fights off a starving moose with his fists and a shovel and a .22 to save his mother.
Now, this is, okay, normally when we do these man fights animal attack.
The man is awful.
Always bad, and we don't like them, and we joke, last week we just covered all these, this week we're covering elephant attacks.
Yes.
Right, so we're covering all it, but this is a nice, like, he had to fight this moose.
This is a true honorable fight to the death against a dying moose and a man. All right, so this moose, it's cold out. Negative 40 Celsius, apparently.
What in the living fuck? Where is he, on the moon?
Saskatchewan.
Jesus Christ.
So this moose
is to be covered in insulation. We just need a, wow, that's cold. Jesus Christ.
So this malnourished moose crawls up to the house because there's a heating vent and it just wants a little warmth, all right? But it's like really thin and really sick and it's dying, okay? Because there's not enough food for it. It's too cold out. The guy's mom goes outside to take out the trash or some shit. The moose sees her. She starts screaming to try and scare it away. The moose is fucking furious. Beats the shit out of the old lady.
Well, to be honest, it sounds like she, like, irritated the moose or something.
I mean, you gotta scream at the moose.
But, it was like, what was it trying to do?
Stay warm. Because there was a heating vent it was leaning up against. It was trying to live. Okay? There is a hint of sadness in the story.
Why didn't she just let it be under the heating vent?
Because I think it saw her, and moose are very violent.
Oh,
moose will fuck your ass up.
I found a video of him telling the story. If you want to check it out real quick.
Oh yeah,
is it one of those things where if she's on her period or something, mice get worse?
Am I right? Am I wrong?
Well,
like honestly,
no, maybe
like a bear.
This is a man. This is a man moose, though.
Oh, but he had a fight. But why he she attacked the woman? Why the moose attacked the woman in the first place?
Because it's starving and it's dying and it's going to get really defensive. And moose are already violent on the bottom line. Let me tell the quick version of the story because I only read it once and I want to see how right I am. And then we'll play his version. Great. So he sees the moose on top of his mother. He goes up and he's like, "Get off my mom, moose!" Mm-hmm. And he fucking punches it in the face a bunch. He splits its lid open.
Does it remind you of your childhood?
Yeah. And the moose is like, "You fucking piece of shit." And the moose is like, starts like kicking his mom again, you know? And she's like, "Oh God, my fucking head, my fucking body's hurting this shit." And then he's like, "All right, I'll give it." And he gets a big ass shovel. Mm-hmm. He starts slapping the moose in the face with the shovel. Moose is like, "Come on, bro. You ain't gonna fucking take me down with no shovel."
You think
like,
that's what you're gonna do there, partner?
He's like, "You stay right there. Yeah. Don't move. You stay on my mother. You stay right there." He goes in his house and he grabs his .22 rifle, all right? .22, small bullets.
Yeah.
Shoots the moose directly in the eyeball. Moose unfazed. Shoots the moose in the other eyeball. Unfazed. Starts shooting it over and over again in the same spot in its head until these .22s eventually penetrate its brain and it dies on the spot. True fight to the death.
That is a hard fight. That's a gun fight. That's a gun punch.
And these guys, they look at him. He's so nice looking.
He is.
He just
really
looks
sweet.
Like kind, like true kindness.
I heard one guy call them those little snub nose. Someone I saw some was gotten to a fucking hole of self defense videos, and he calls those ear, nose, and throat guns.
Oh yeah,
like those are nose. He's like, because you got to mash it up against a guy's face.
All right, let's hear his story and see how close that was.
Sean Tufnell says the showdown happened in Bean Fate on the morning of January 22nd when he found his mom stuck below the moose.
My mom decided to come out to start a vehicle. The moose was laying right against the two vents. She come around the corner here, just startled the moose.
Tufnell's mom, Angie Tufnell, tried to run back into the house when the moose pushed her down.
She looks all
Tufnell right. Came out of the house after hearing his mom yell for help.
He put his ears right back, which means they're not going to run. So then I took about two steps and I punched him in the face right here. And his head went up in the air.
You're a big boy, too.
I just took one step back and he swung his foot at me and just missed my face.
Coming to terms with the situation he had now found himself in, Tufnell says he grabbed a shovel and tried to fight back, only to have the moose charge him into the doorframe.
Then he went and he turned and looked at her again, and he put his ears back and he went to go at her, and then I went out and I grabbed him by the ear and like the bridge of the nose and pulled him because I knew I was safe in the doorway. And then he come right back in, his teeth were out like that, trying to get me. And I end up getting him in, over top of the head like this.
Fuck
he picked
yeah.
me up and I hit the doorframe a couple times.
Holy shit!
That's when he broke my rib.
At that point, Tufnell says he called for Dave, his mom's boyfriend, to bring out a gun.
Dave!
After some more commotion, Dave! Tufnell was able to retrieve the gun and shot the moose over a dozen times.
You can see that stain is actually where all the blood was.
Both Tufnell and his mom were able to get away from the fight with treatable injuries.
I have quite a big gash in my leg, in the inside of the leg here. And
when
he made this gash with his hoof, he slid down to my heel and he made a bruise.
You're bumming me out, lady!
Get back to the boy!
Shut up, lady!
What had happened. The moose's body was then taken to Saskatoon for testing. The Canadian Wildlife Health Cooperative said in a statement that the adult male moose was in very poor conditions, but ultimately died from multiple gunshot wounds.
Jesus
Tufnell's
Christ.
Mom is just grateful for her son and hopes this doesn't happen to anyone else.
So I'm lucky to be alive. Very lucky.
You don't sound like it.
Luck is thanks to him, to my son.
Yeah, thank your fucking son.
He fought like a...
Moose?
A savage, I say.
Sonia O'Neill, Global News.
Wow.
Fucking incredible story.
Why do I feel like she's like, she made her, how do I put this? Only a mother can do a feel like, make a vibe that feels like it's almost, he should feel guilty for
killing the moose.
Like, for like helping her survive. Like there's something about this where she's like, this, because you know it's the type of lady that's always like, I should be dead.
I always dreamt the moose would take me.
I wanted to go this way. You took this from me. One thing I was supposed to do was have my teeth chewed off by
Stay
moose.
Stay away from my mom, moose!
You're like, no, this is how I'm supposed to ago, I saw in dream. I talked to fortune teller woman.
I don't want to kill you, Moose.
You don't kill the moose. Let the moose kill me. It is my fate. You don't kill the moose. It is my fate. It sends me to heaven. See your miserable father.
Well, I'm certain that honestly it all worked out.
Except for the moose.
Moose got fucking absolutely just crazy murdered.
Yeah.
Hey, but don't attack an old lady.
It was sick. If that moose was relatively healthy, he would not have won the fight.
No, he would have tore him to shreds. But also, go for him.
Yeah.
Here we go. We got another.
That's a little piece of advice for everyone out there. If you're going to fight a moose, make sure it's sick.
Not with two Q's. All right. No, is that a new metal moose? All right. So I think that we've covered quite a bit today. I think we've got some letters.
You don't want to talk about the paramedic coming in the fireman's chili?
Yeah, I can talk about it.
I mean, we don't need to go too far into it.
It's really not that deep.
It's really not that deep. It was right on top. No, but the apparently there is this paramedic who was like coming and pissing all over the fucking fire station. Was and it all
just
caught.
Was he just trying to do a prank, a quote unquote funny prank?
You know, is at that the beginning of the article, it seemed like it was all a prank, but now it seems like he's just like a sick fuck who likes to cover shit in his own cum and piss.
There's a problem with pranks.
I'm okay with a prank.
A prank?
You do it once.
We have said this. How many times have we said this?
Yeah.
A prank is funny.
Yes.
So a prank, it can be annoying, but the goal is to laugh.
Yeah.
Right? Like, that is the goal. In the end, you go, oh, that's it. Not the, oh, my God, you put your fucking ejaculate all over my security equipment.
You pissed in the ice machine and mixed it up.
Yeah,
that's not a prank.
That's not a prank. You know what a prank is?
No matter how.
A rubber snake.
Yes.
That's a prank.
That's a firemen are used to that.
They love that kind of prank. You know what's a prank? Fucking one of your buddy's wives.
That's kind of a prank.
In firemen.
It depends. Yeah, firemen, they got loose rules.
Firemen, they fuck each other's wives all day. That's all they do is swap wives when they're sitting around waiting for shit to do.
No, I mean, in between their naps.
Yeah.
And spaghetti.
Yeah.
They have a lot of spaghetti in
we
there.
We know what's going on.
I know what you guys do.
Yeah, we like to come for the firemen.
Yeah, yeah. That's living off the cloud of 9/11 for 20 something years.
We know what you do. Sit around waiting for another 9/11 to happen so you can do whatever you want. We know what you want. Each one of you guys wants your own. Sorry, honestly, we really appreciate our firemen.
Please,
our firewomen.
Please save us.
We love you. Sorry. We need you in LA. All right, let's look at this one letter.
All right. You want a new stinger? We got a couple stingers.
Oh, yeah,
new
of course. Stingers?
You wanted a funk stinger, so we
someone
got a couple.
Did it?
Yeah, I mean, we got a couple of them. God, I'll play you one.
I'm always surprised when people like just do the things that we randomly ask.
I love it. It fills me with delight.
Yeah, man. Here you go.
I want straight funk.
Yeah. Woo!
Oh, yeah. Last Podcast on the Left presents Side Stories.
Side Stories?
Side Stories.
Listener emails.
That's awesome.
That was really great.
Yeah, you especially did the thing, because you know how that's how Michael Jackson wrote songs.
Oh. All right, shut up for a second.
Right,
listen, my name's Quincy Jones, and you got to shut up for a second. All right, let me fuck you.
Well, you got enough of a woman-like exterior. Well, here we go. First of all, I got several emails. We talked last week about the Olive Garden chef who committed suicide by sticking his head in the fryer. And I got two emails from health inspectors.
Oh, okay.
That Eddie reiterated what Eddie said, which is, you know, it does clean it right out.
I told you.
They're like, that bleach cleans it right out. You wouldn't even know it's in there. Biologically, it's gone. Because I brought this up to Natalie.
Yeah.
I said, how would you feel about going back to that Olive Garden? She was like, I wouldn't go. And I was like, you know, they said it would be completely clean. It just seems to me as well, I wouldn't want to immediately go to the place where the chef committed suicide because I want the chef to be happy.
Well, that particular chef. Not all, most chefs hate their lives.
Yeah, of course. But everyone does.
Yes.
Everybody works.
Yeah, but chefs are a little more violent about it.
I love chefs.
Me too.
Real chefs.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Me too.
And I like our cooks too.
Yeah, and you know, Natalie was right about that, but just right about not going to the Olive Garden in general.
Well, we all know that Olive Garden. I also got weird. Several passionate, like people sticking up for Olive Garden.
Oh really?
And you're wrong. You're objectively wrong.
No, you're wrong.
And you gotta find a new place to go. Okay, that is what I'm not. I'll step back on the circumcision stuff.
Yeah.
I'll learn, and I'll hear. I'll open up discourse.
I'm happy
about,
for people with that.
But I will happy, but if you try to tell me, and because I've again what I said, I had the ultimate Olive Garden experience. I've been there for a wedding reception, and I've been there for a wake, and it's not good. That's like when they're supposed to be at their best.
Yeah,
right. At a wake, you'd think at a wake they would really do their best.
Where would you put Olive Garden, above or below Buca di Beppo?
Below.
Below, right? Yeah, because Buca di Beppo sucks.
Disgusting.
Horrible. Great decor.
Better ambiance.
Yeah.
I agree. Here we go.
Rob's looking at his puzzle. You've never been to a Buca di Beppo?
No, I have. It's just so expensive.
Yeah.
How is it so bad if it's so expensive?
I've never paid for a meal there. I always eat for free.
That's how you like it.
They know
you
me.
Like it because you're spending a lot of money. Yeah.
Mr. Lawson, you're next to the table next to the Pope statue.
Yeah. Come on here.
I just think that Olive Garden exists for a reason because there's certain places in the United States, like, say, Wyoming,
yeah.
Nebraska.
Well, hey.
Where there aren't nice Italian
there
restaurants.
There are better chains.
Kansas has great Italian food.
Carrabba's.
I don't know why I'm going to bat for them right now.
Carrabba's is a better chain.
Carrabba's is a better
Maggiano's
chain.
Maggiano's is a better chain.
Yes.
The fucking, what else a better, not Noodle Factory, Spaghetti Factory, it's a Canadian chain, is a
Fazuli's.
Better chain. Fazuli's is fine.
Just saying, these small towns, they're
I just
lucky if they can get
four
one.
Chains. I just named, you can find a chain.
Yeah. Macaroni Grill, did we list that?
Sparrow, no, that's what I was looking for.
Macaroni Grill.
It's also extremely good. And
but that's a little expensive.
It is, sure, but are you going on a date or not?
Yeah, it's nice.
Same thing, or if you're going to the... And then, unfortunately, the Mussolini of all of them, the Cheesecake Factory.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, God.
But I will say, in my experience, Olive Garden will let you drink underage.
Yes.
So if you're trying to do that,
oh, yeah,
try
go.
It in an Olive Garden.
If you're 14 and you like and you like Porto Rossi, you're going to love... Oh, God. All right, here. So we get this little letter, so. I heard your story about the Olive Garden chef who committed suicide.
Cook.
Let's just call him Cook.
Okay. He's a cook.
And I wanted to share the following when it came to businesses not closing when an employee dies. My roommate in college worked for Universal Studios Hollywood.
I've been there, Punch.
Well, I love that place.
That's great.
She mostly did just, you know, janitorial work in the lower lot. But when she went to clock out at a shift change once, she was told by management to not discuss this afternoon's events. So having no idea what the fuck they were talking about, she asked around. Turns out an employee who had quit the day before came back that day, shot his girlfriend, and then shot himself in the upper lot. LAPD came, that area of the park was closed for a few hours where they cleaned up the blood.
Upper parking lot?
Yeah, the upper, no, it was in the Despicable Me area.
Really?
And apparently this part of the park is so popular... For employee suicides.
I've been there. It makes sense.
Not near the Minions.
By the Minions.
Oh, no.
That they call it.
They're evil.
A funny little joke that they call it within amongst themselves is the Super Suicide Funland.
Oh.
And instead of the Super Silly Funland. Tangentially related, but this is also a part of the park where you can smoke.
Oh.
But that, because also the part explicitly geared towards young children.
So they let them, what, like smoke behind the rides there?
Yeah.
It makes sense that you can smoke.
Yeah.
They don't want the smokers going all the way to the bottom. You got to go back up all those escalators. You can need them back to work really fast.
Escalators are specifically scares you don't have to climb.
Well, I mean, you know it takes forever.
Yeah, but if you're a smoker, you don't care. You're waiting for death.
Yeah. I mean, if I were to choose somewhere to kill myself at Universal Studios, I mean, I feel like the Despicable Me area is the best choice.
I agree. Honestly, I would do it on the Simpsons ride.
Simpsons ride?
I would probably go just for the, no, they need to change it. And you know what I would probably
do? They're losing
do?
It soon.
But if I was going to do it, obviously, I would do it on a White House tour.
Oh, yes.
So I want to say thank you guys so much for joining.
Just like everyone else who's talking about the Epstein files, we're joking. We would never kill ourselves.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not sad. I don't do high-risk behavior.
Our lives are fucking phenomenal.
It's super boring. I don't do anything. I take no physical risks. If you see anything happen to me,
I ain't skydiving.
None of that.
I'm barely eating chicken wings.
Got my health, my blood report back. My heart's fine.
My heart's doing great. My cholesterol's down. I don't have diabetes no more. I ain't trying to die.
Spoiler, Eddie, because you never fully talked about your pre-diabetes disorder.
Well, I had pre-diabetes, and I got diabetes, and now, it went down back down to
pre-diabetes.
But
you never really talked about it.
No, because I was very scared, because both of my parents died of diabetes, and yes. I just didn't want to joke about it.
But you beat it.
It's with you forever.
You're maintaining it in a way that I'm super proud of you.
You look
really good.
I'm going to live.
You don't look like shit.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You don't look like shit either.
I look fine.
Both of us could look way worse. And I'll tell you what, in our 20-something year relationship, I think we're most attractive now.
This is
somehow.
I'm sorry,
somehow,
guys.
Yeah. This is as good as it gets.
This is as nice as
you
I can look.
You should have seen when I was 280 and Henry was 320, we were a pair.
Ooh. When you saw us rolling in, you knew shit was about to get loose, man. God, that fucking Vegas seafood buffet never saw us coming, man.
Oh, man.
The one in Glendale, California.
Oh, yeah. Always get landlocked seafood.
Always get landlocked city named seafood in another landlocked city that it's not in. That's where you get your buffet food, always.
Yes. Oh, he did it. They did it in Jurassic Parking?
No, that's where I would do it.
Oh, that's right. You do Jurassic Parking.
Yeah, I love Jurassic Parking.
Jurassic
Parking.
Well, then why would you do it there?
Just so I could always be there.
Oh, yeah, wow.
Cute. That's sweet.
Just like Robert Duvall. We chose wrong. We definitely chose wrong for our we chose a lot of good. Robert Duvall would have been an awesome death pool choice.
Oh, for sure. But I didn't want that, you know. No, he's 95. What a great life.
Super, super great life.
A lot of good ones died this year, but we're not doing that right now.
No, we're not. Just go out there and try to live your own Robert Duvall-like life. Go to patreon.com/lastpodcastontheleft. You can listen to the show with no ads. You also can see Last Stream on the Left Live, 6 p.m. PST, every week on Tuesday. And man, do we have some fun. We have a bunch of new stuff on there. You can see we are $25 video tier submitting videos in order for it to show for our brand new show, Last Stream on the Left, After Hours, which will be beginning next Tuesday. We will be doing that for the very first time. Go check us out on the Patreon. And we're going to be starting our brand new movie podcast. So we're going to be putting up this either this week or next week. I'll be talking with our crew. Yeah. We're going to be putting up a poll of directors that you would like for us to consider in our movie podcasting that we're doing. So we're going to put that, we're going to put it all up. You're going to choose amongst our selection.
And we'll pick the top two.
Yes.
And do episodes on them. And do you want to say who they are? Might as well get people excited.
Well, right now we want people to choose.
Chose two and you chose three.
Yes.
All right. You want to tell the people who you chose.
Well, I want to do Jan Švankmajer.
Uh huh.
I want to do Alejandro Jodorowsky.
Yes.
Or I want to do.
One second. Do I have to watch a bunch of Jodorowsky?
Yeah, you might. Ugh. Depends if they get us. Have you seen the other ones?
Yeah, I've seen El Topo and Holy Mountain.
They're great.
I mean,
all
they're great movies.
Santa Sangre's fantastic.
They just make you so upset.
Yeah.
All the animal murder.
Wait till you see Jan Švankmajer.
Yeah.
Then also the other one is, I can't wait for Jan Švankmajer's. And then Andrei Tarkovsky.
Yeah, and we're going to do all of these eventually. We just want to know who you want us to do first. And my choices were William Friedkin because I want to see his whole catalog. And Walter Hill, who's a guy who I just discovered that he just made a bunch of action movies. And some of them are awful and some of them are just fucking awesome.
I love that.
I watched a movie called Extreme Prejudice last night. What a blast. So yeah, get into these weird directors, these older directors.
I absolutely love it.
And The Miseducation of Ed Larson, the Bob Lazar episodes now available on Patreon for the $10 tier and up. Come see Henry and I on the road. CrimeWaveAtSea.com/left to get tickets to see Henry and I at Crime Wave at Sea 2.0 in February of 2027. Plan ahead. Go have fun. We're going to get wet.
We're going to have such. It's a great vacation.
The pool party's the most fun. I can't wait to do that. It's the most work Henry and I've ever done in a show.
It was wild.
It was a blast.
Anybody who saw that knows how ridiculous that fucking show was.
Yeah.
And knows that we're just going to do it again. And now we actually kind of know how to do it.
Yeah.
So we're very, very excited. It's going to be like, if it wasn't as much fun as the last time,
yeah,
I would not be pushing it this hard.
Yeah, no, I talked to the staff, and they're going to get me a really nice Connect Four to beat the fuck out of all of you with, so that's going to be good. On March 14th, we're going to be in Urbana, Illinois. On April 26th, Lexington, Kentucky. May 7th, Netflix is a joke here in L.A. Henry and I are going to be at the Avalon Theater at 9:45. Come check that out. Night of Too Many Stars. It's too many stars. Okay? Come see two.
Fuck yeah. Fuck those fucking stars. You see them all the time. They're all complicit.
Yeah. They're all in on
it. Come see a couple of people that aren't. Literally, see some people who are literally as far away from the machine as possible.
Not allowed to participate.
Yes, come to our show. Our show's better than their show.
May 30th, Rochester, New York, and June 28th, London, Ontario. Then, of course, I'm going to be doing some stand-up here in L.A. April 3rd at the Lyric Hyperion with Amber Nelson. P-Funk Fest, baby, in Tallahassee, April 11th, and ViStar Stadium, that is the Jumbo Shrimp Stadium with Danny Bedrosian and Holden McNeely, and that's going to be on April 12th. Come see those shows. They're going to be a blast. Tickets for everything are available at eddietunes.com.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right. I put it all on there. Go to Last Podcast on the Left, of course. Always buy your tickets through the links that we provide. Don't buy these secondhand tickets. It's never us. And
no, ever. Go to lastpodcastontheleft.com. It's the only way to get them.
Yeah.
And we'd like to thank Ian over at Floor Audio for that amazing stinger.
That was great, buddy.
Great fucking work.
See you at P-Funk Fest.
Yeah, bro.
Hell yeah.
Hail Satan.
You know what? Fucking hail him again.
Live every day fighting for the fucking liberty of people, fighting for the liberty of people you hate. Love the fact that America is all about that. We're all in here fucking together, and the only way we're gonna get out of this when we're laughing our way to the fucking guillotines with all these fuckers' blood running down the streets.
Yeah. Eat that jerky, y'all.
Enjoy.